Samuel, the book of 1 Chronicles covers the story of David from the death of Saul and his sons to David's death and the ascension of Solomon. And we can find this in 1 Corinthians 10 through 29. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles 10 through 29. These chapters parallel the narrative in 2 Samuel. And this parallel telling of the same story gives us more insights and details as to what happens during this period. Starting in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we hear a conversation between King David and the prophet Nathan. The parallel narrative can be found in 1 Chronicles 17. Remember that the books 1 and 2 Samuel were most likely written by Samuel until his death, and then the prophets Nathan and Gad. So who are Nathan and Gad? They are David's court prophets. The inspired writer of 1 Chronicles mentions the writings of Samuel, Nathan, and Gad as the source of his history, and he also mentions Nathan and Gad as having a hand in implementing the musical role David assigned to the Levites in the temple liturgy. Concerning Nathan, we also hear in Sirach, after Samuel arose Nathan to prophesy in the time of David. Unlike other kings of the ancient Near East, Israel's kings did not rule with absolute power. Israel's kings were agents or servants of God, and it was the prophet who communicated God's instructions to the king. It was also the prophet's duty to confront the king with moral failures. The king of Israel were to be subservient to the Torah of God. Divine law was the stipulation of the law in Ten Commandments and further instruction in the law codes that we find in books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, including the laws for a king in Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20. The conversation that David had with Nathan stemmed from the fact that David did not consider it fitting that he should live comfortably in a palace while the ark that was the dwelling place of God resided in a tent. David wanted to build a house for Yahweh. In verse 3, Nathan agreed with his plan and told David to proceed because God was with him. However, that night, David came to Nathan in a dream and gave the following message to Nathan to pass on to David. It is presumptuous of David to think that God needed a house or a temple like the pagan gods. God cannot be confined to one place. God has been with David from his youth and will continue to bless David as the shepherd of his people. Instead of David building God a house, God will reward David by building him a house. That is the Davidic dynasty. God will appoint a son of David to succeed him. That son will build God a house. God will be a father to David's sons and will never withdraw his covenant love from David's house or dynasty. And David's house will endure forever. Nathan delivers God's message to David, and if we consult 1 Chronicles, we find a more detailed or at least another reason why God does not want David to be a builder of the house of God's house. In 1 Chronicles 22, 7 through 10, the reason for this is stated that it's because David was a man of war, and his son will be a man of peace. Now, to be clear, God does not reject David for being a man of war. In his wars, David has fulfilled the destiny that God gave him for securing Israel as a nation. And God has blessed him in his battles, giving David his victories. But God does not want his dwelling place associated with violence necessarily and war like the false gods of other nations. He wants his dwelling place to be thought of in the context of peace and spiritual rest. David is not to build a house for God, but God will build a house for David. The substance of the prophecy Nathan delivers to David is a promise of the Davidic dynasty that will last forever. Each Davidic king will be God's son. God also promises that he will discipline the Davidic kings with good human father discipline of his sons. David writes about his special relationship with Yahweh and the sons of David in Psalm 89. And when God will acknowledge the Davidic heir, and this is from Psalm 89, he, the heir, will cry to me, "You are my father, my God, the rock of my salvation. So I, Yahweh, shall make him my firstborn, the highest of earthly kings. I shall maintain my faithful love for him always." My covenant will stay firm. I've established this dynasty forever, his throne to be lasting as the heavens. It is a passage that is not fulfilled in the earthly Davidic kings, but in Jesus Christ, the Davidic Messiah. It is Jesus who fulfills the royal covenant God made with David, that his throne will endure forever. The kingdom over which Christ Jesus rules is the church on earth and the church of saints in heaven. Through the new covenant, he has made us one flesh in kinship with him through the gift of his body and blood in the Eucharist. We celebrate and renew our covenant in Christ in every Eucharistic celebration, giving thanks for our redemption and looking forward to the day when we will stand before his throne in paradise. Nathan's message to David establishes the charter for the advancement of God's divine plan for man's salvation. The hereditary monarchy is the center of the prophecy. David's succession is assured, and the specific role of God's temple among his chosen people in the capital city of Jerusalem is to be part of the plan. The covenant promise that David's throne is to last forever points to the Messiah who will be the descendant of David. Next we hear is David's response to Nathan's prophecy. David is overwhelmed by Yahweh's generosity, and so he goes immediately into the tent that houses the Ark of the Covenant to pray in the presence of Yahweh. David acknowledges that he comes from a humble background. Bethlehem is a small and insignificant village. His father was not wealthy, and his clan is one of the smallest of Judah's clans. He acknowledges that God has taken him from the sheepfold to the throne room, and yet God graciously offers to do more for his shepherd king. David acknowledges that since God knows everything, including all that is in David's heart, that he might not have the words to express, since he is so overcome with gratitude. Though David is not to be the builder of God's house, he will make himself useful in God's planning for the future temple by gathering the necessary materials. And we can read this in Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22. God will ease his disappointment by confiding in him the temple architecture and having David draw up the plans that God will give him for this construction, which David will share with his son. We read this in 1 Chronicles 28. Again, we can find all of this information in 1 Chronicles chapters 22 and 28.